ask that if you would, we open our Bibles to the 23rd chapter of the book of Acts. And, you know, there's a reoccurring theme in the Bible. And it's so obvious that sometimes we can miss it or we can dismiss it. And that is that every time God shows up or God is involved in somebody's life or comes to be involved in somebody's life, he turns stumbling blocks into stepping stones. That he changes something that caused someone to stumble into actually a stepping stone. He did it with Jesus, and so that Jesus not only became a cornerstone, but he came the pivotal point for salvation for all of us. And that was one of Paul's messages to the people of his day was that the one who once was a stumbling block has now become a cornerstone. And so what God is able to do in our lives if we let him is to turn what was a stumbling block into a stepping stone for the next level. I call my brother, we grew up, my father was a preacher, a pastor, AME pastor, and a subcontract. He was a brick mason. So all summer long, when we was out of school, we got up and went. I don't care how late you stayed up. The next morning, you nodding off in the truck going to the job. And so, you know, the significance of when you lay brick, you start from the corners and you come to the middle. You lay in a foundation, you start, you know, you got two people on the corner and you start laying the brick towards the middle like that. And so a cornerstone is sort of the first stone that you lay. And so what once was the stumbling block becomes the first stone that actually catapults when God is involved. When God is trying to build something in your life, he often starts with the thing that was once a stumbling block and uses that to become the... And so I want to try to actualize a little bit of that and allow God to do that in us today in the 23rd chapter. When we come into this chapter, you'll see by the language that it is a tense time. And so I want to offer you a snapshot of where Paul is at this point and see what the Lord has to say. In the 23rd chapter, in the 9th verse, it says... Then a great clamor arose, and certain scribes of the Pharisees' group stood up and contended, "We find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" When the dissension became violent, the tribune, fearing that they would tear Paul to pieces, ordered the soldiers to go down, take him by force, and bring him to the barracks. That night, the Lord stood near him and said, "Keep up your courage, for just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also in Rome." In the morning, the Jews joined in a conspiracy, bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who joined in this conspiracy. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have strictly bound ourselves by an oath to taste no food until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the council must notify the tribune to bring him down to you on the pretext that you want to make a more thorough examination of his case. and we are ready to do away with him before he arrives. And we are ready to do away with him before we arrive. I fell into the reading of the book of Acts and recently discovered that from about the 16th, 17th chapter all the way to the end of the book, it's all Paul. And it's about the places that he visited, and it's about the impact on people's lives that he had. It's about him running the race and finishing the course of what God has set for him to do, right? And so around the 19th and the 20th and the 21st chapters, he starts to hone in on Jerusalem. And so as you read, you know, through, and you see the tensions and you see the things that he faces, and I just read it and read it and read it and read it, and the thing that stood out to me the most was right in the middle of the thick of it, he's having a tough time. He's having a rough patch here. He's having a lot of opposition, and it was the 11th verse. It talked about, you know, there was a great clamor. He came to Jerusalem. He knew God had called him to Jerusalem, but everybody was telling him not to go. It was telling him not to go. And in the 21st chapter, it says, in the third verse, it says, "We came in sight of Cyprus, and leaving it on our left, we sailed to Syria." And he's talking about the place he went. Then he says, verse 4, "We looked up the disciples and stayed there in Syria for 7 days. Through the Spirit, they told Paul not to go to Jerusalem." So what you have here is good people, spiritual people, holy people, saying to Paul, "Don't go to Jerusalem." And Paul is saying, "I have to go to Jerusalem." Right? Spiritual people saying, "Don't go to Jerusalem." Paul saying, "I must go to Jerusalem." And one of the things you got to work out with your calling, one of the things you got to work out with what God is calling you to do, is you got to learn to discern voices. I'm not saying that they're wrong, but what they're saying is that there's trouble there, Paul. There's trouble there. And I want to read a little more for you. It says, the next day, verse 8, "The next day we left and came to Caesarea, and we went into the house of Philip." That's Philip the evangelist. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So Philip the evangelist, one of the seven, and stayed with him. He had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. "While we were staying there for several days, a prophet named Agabus came down to Judea," where he was, and he came to us, and he said, "Paul, let me have your belt." And he took Paul's belt and he wrapped the belt around his hands and wrapped another belt around his legs and said, "This is what they're going to do to you if you go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. They're laying for you in Jerusalem." And the Bible says in verse 12, "When he heard this, we and the people urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Paul answered, 'What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.'" And then the Bible says in verse 14, "Since he was not persuaded, we remained silent, and except to say, 'The Lord's will be done.'" The people were saying to Paul, "Don't go to Jerusalem because bad things are going to happen there." Paul is saying, "I must go to Jerusalem because bad things are going to happen." But he clearly saw the need and felt led to go to Jerusalem in spite of what others were saying, right? But that ain't what, you know, so we all deal with, what am I supposed to do in this circumstance? We all deal with that. We all deal with what God is calling me to do with my life. And there are really good-meaning people with good advice that can advise you. Paul knew the same thing that they knew. But he also knew that God had another plan there for him. He knew if I had to die, I have to die. But I know I am compelled to do this. And sometimes in your life, you have a conviction about what you need to do. And folks are saying, boy, you better, I don't know about that. I don't know about starting that. It's not that you haven't processed it the same way. It's just that you know that's what you need to do. But that ain't the thing. I was reading through this thing, and so he ends up going to Jerusalem, right? And he goes into the temple, and people recognize him from another place, and they said, this guy's been stirring up trouble. This guy has been denying the temple. He's been telling people they ain't got to read on Moses, that they can, you know, they don't have to know the law and all that. They can just, you know, accept Jesus and be saved. And he's denying the whole Jewish faith. And so they arrested him and sort of beat him around a little bit and so forth. And the soldiers that were there came and rescued him. And they took him in and they had a trial. And the Apostle Paul recognized that he recognized the players in there, and the Bible says that he made a statement that divided them. But the bottom line is that he caused an uproar. But that ain't what the uproar. That's not what blessed my heart. They arrested him in the temple, and they are about to really try to kill him on the spot. And the Bible says the Bible says that then a great clamor, chapter 23, then a great clamor arose, and certain scribes and Pharisees stood up and contended, we find nothing wrong with this guy. So some of them were supportive of him. And then the Bible says in verse 10, when the dissension became violent, the tribune, the leaders, fearing that they would tear Paul apart, the soldiers, feeling they would tear Paul apart, ordered the soldiers to go down, take him by force, and bring him into the barracks, bring him into where the soldiers were. And the Bible says that night, the Lord stood near him. I'm a witness that when you're going through something, when you can't see your way, when there's trouble on every side, when there's discord all around, God has a way of showing up and letting you know that he's near you. It says, that night the Lord stood near him and said to him, keep up your courage, for just as you have testified to me in Jerusalem, so you must now bear witness in Rome. So this what you're going through, Paul, is just a dress rehearsal. This what you're going through right now will not define who you are. It will not destroy you. And somebody in you today is going through something that looks like it'll destroy everything you've been working on and building on. And God has come here today to say, keep up your courage. And sometimes your breakthrough comes when you just keep up your courage. Some doors only open, some doors are marked courage. And listen, God wasn't saying, look at how God brings him out. God didn't say, I'm going to bring you out of this. What he says is that this is prepping you for another opportunity to come. He says, keep up your courage. For just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness in Rome. Rome, the imperial empire. God doesn't bring us out of something, he brings us through it. And so much of our theology, so much of our understanding of God, so much of our understanding of problems, and so much of our preoccupation with blessings doesn't take into account that God is trying to do something through you. He's trying to put something in you so that you can witness in a larger setting. We just want to get out. Sometimes, listen, God showed up and said, listen, this ain't quite over yet. Keep up your courage. Just because you're going through this doesn't mean I'm not with you. Just because you're having this rough patch, just because you have these stumbling blocks, just because you have this sickness, just because you have this addiction, just because you have these problems in your life, don't mean I ain't with you. Be encouraged. There's bigger fish to fry. You like, oh, God, man. And listen, they just dragged this man out trying to kill him. They've got a plot on the backside. Tomorrow, there's 40 guys, 40 men who say we ain't eating another meal until he's dead. And they made a pact and said, we're not going to eat until that guy's dead, right? So there's a contract on Paul's life, right? And it's going to be carried out tomorrow. So they send a message to the head of the tribunal, the military tribunal, to say, we want you to send this guy to this destination tomorrow, and on the way, we're going to take him out. And the Lord comes and says to Paul, be of good courage. And when he shows up like that, I mean, to me, everything depends on him showing up. Everything depends on him showing up. When he shows up, you have confidence. When he shows up, you know that he is with you. And when he is with you, he can turn stumbling blocks. He can turn threats. He can turn something negative into something positive. And all throughout the Bible, the whole of Scripture, is in fact, the premise of Scripture is that he takes something that hurts and turns it into something that heals. And it took a while for the disciples to understand this. But at Pentecost and one or two other places, they looked back on what Judas had done to Christ. They were angry at first, but they looked back on what Judas had done to Christ, and they said, you know, that had to happen. That had to happen. That was part of the plan. He had to fulfill that. And so when you're in Christ, it doesn't the negative things don't happen. It's not the bad things don't happen. It's not the things that hurt don't happen. It's just that when he's with you, when you are leaning and depending upon him, when he's in your life, he enables you in a little while to look back on that and say, you know what? That had to happen the way that it did. And he turns something negative. He turns something that's a stumbling block into a stepping stone. And that's God's business. That's the business that he's in. Moses, the Red Sea. Stumbling block. It became the greatest victory in the history of the country. And define their understanding of God, that he's a way maker, that he opens doors. How do you know that he opens doors unless there's been some closed doors in your face? How do you know he's a healer unless you've been sick and can't get well? He did it for Jacob. Jacob was running away to his mama's people's house. He got so tired and decided to make a bed, and he put a rock there for a pillow. And sometimes you made your bed, you got to sleep on that. But that night he saw a ladder, the Bible said, up to heaven, and angels descending and ascending on it. And the Lord stood at the top. And then the Lord stood near him and said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you wherever you go. And I'm going to bring you back to this land and give you all this land. Now, until then, he hadn't been nothing but a thief, a scoundrel. His name means heel. His name means supplanter. His name means deceiver. He was a deceiver all of his life. And God said to him when he was running away, when he looked like everything was over, when his brother wanted to kill him because he stole his birthright, felt like he had no future. And some people get into a point in their life where they feel like they have no future. God said to him, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to give you all this land, and I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Jacob said, deal. He said, if you're going to do all that for me, then that's going to be my God. Right? Stumbling block into stepping stone. Did it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Burned in the fiery furnace, discovered God. God brought them out and promoted them. Turned a stumbling block because they wouldn't bow. Put in the fire. Met God in the fire. Right? King looks in there and says, I put three, but there are four in there. When God shows up and gets near you, he turns stumbling blocks into stepping stone. Now that fire, the Bible said, you read the story. The Bible said, the king said, bring them out. Come out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he brought them out. And the Bible said they didn't smell like smoke. Their skin wasn't burnt. Their hair wasn't twinged. Their clothes wasn't smoky. And the king, the wicked king, said, I ain't never seen a God saved like that. In order for God to do something magnificent, he has to put you in circumstances. In order for you to be a witness, you have to go through some things and be patient and allow God to build on your understanding of what he's capable of and who he is. The only way he can do it is for you to go through some trials and tribulations. So much of our understanding and theology and preaching and singing and praying and churchiness today eliminates that. Doesn't incorporate that. But it's in everything. It's in Jesus. Jesus kept telling them, you know, I can't explain it to you, but I'm going to go in. The Gentiles are going to turn me over. They're going to crucify me. But the third day, I'm going to rise again. Peter said, ain't no way. Ain't no way. Took him aside, rebuked Jesus, and said, that's not going to happen. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You thinking man's thoughts and not God's thoughts. And so many times, we look at a circumstance, we look at a problem from a human standpoint. We look at it, we don't include God in the thing. And we're only looking at what we're going through from a human perspective. Come on, Christians. Come on. You think he put you somewhere and not be able to bring you out or bring you through? He did it for Esther, he did it for the disciples, he did it for all of them. If you look at the Bible, the whole premise, the whole thing that it's built on is him taking, I mean, you see it everywhere, him taking something that was adversarial initially, stumbling block, and making it the very foundation for your new understanding. That big relational mistake you made, or that big decision you had to make and you blew it. The addiction you struggled with so silently for so long that not many people knew about. The breakdown. That thing that once hurt you so bad you thought you'd never recover. Now you can be like Jesus. When Jesus came back from the dead, he showed him his scars. I'm not afraid to show my scars no more. Because that's where he healed. That's where he healed us. You ain't got to hide your scars. Jesus showed the disciples his scars. Put your hand right there. That's where they nailed me at. So, did they get him? Lord says, he came and stood near him and said, while he was in the barracks with the soldiers, and said, hey, I know what it looks like. But keep up your courage. Keep up your courage now. And the same way you witness for me in Jerusalem, I actually have a larger platform for you where I need you. So this ain't so much what Paul want. This ain't about him exercising his gift. This is about what God wants for my life, what God needs for me to do. What God wants. And so much of our churchiness today is getting God to work for us. When in fact, the whole thing that's supposed to be about is us working for God. But we bring God unto, we bring God to our service and use God to get what we want. And God the whole time is trying to use us to get what he accomplishes. And Paul has found that sweet spot where it's like, I got to go to Jerusalem. I know there's going to be problems. I know there's going to be challenges. And any great call in your life, I'm not talking about a call just for ministry. I'm talking about any calling to serve, a calling to create. It's going to be this. And if you happen to be there today, God is near you today. And God is saying, hey, I know you're scared. Keep up your courage. Don't be persuaded by what you see. This is not going to do you in. There's Rome. There's a Rome that God is trying to get everybody through to. A larger witness. A larger stage of witness. So that God can do even more through you. If you read the story on, you'll see that night they didn't get it. I ain't going to tell you how. You read your Bible when you go home. Leave you something to read. But I just thought about this thing, and I thought about how we worry about our current situation. And, aside from all those lessons and all those applications that we just had, I felt chills when I was reading it. And they were. Said it almost gonna kill him. They're gonna tear him apart. So he's out in the streets, and there's this great crowd, and there's just like a it's like a riot. And the police have to come in with billy clubs to beat everybody back, to pull him out of the mob, right? Pull him out of the mob. He's cut up, beat up. They tried to beat him to death and dragged him back into the barracks where the soldiers were and stationed soldiers outside of that so the people out there couldn't get him. And he's ripped up, torn up, and oh, good gosh. And that night, God shows up. He comes just when we need him. He comes just when we don't have no more answers. And he showed up in a personal way. The Bible could have just said he showed up. The Bible said he stood near him. Sometimes we just need the Lord to stand by us. Stand by me, Lord, as I go through this trial and tribulation. Stand by me, Lord, as I go to do what you ask. Go stand by me, Lord, as I speak to. Stand by me, Lord, as we deal with. Stand by me, Lord. Man, that's the greatest lesson. All the other stuff I said, forget about it. Forget about it. He stands near us when we're going through the deepest. When you walk through the valleys in the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art. That's the whole thing, people. He's with us. Man, that thing blessed me so much. And then I started seeing it everywhere. Out of all the tussling, bustling, this and that and the other, what's going to happen, what has happened, what they did to me, what may happen to me, the Bible said that night, God showed up and whispered to him, hey, hang in there. Don't quit on me. This, I'm going to work this out because I got somewhere where I need you to be. I got a larger arena that I need you to, and this is only preparation for it. This ain't going to do you in. I know what happened. I was there. And those people who told you not to come here, they were right and wrong. But they don't know what plan I had for you. The scriptures say, I know the plans I have for you. Lord, have mercy. That night, the Lord stood near him. Keep up your courage. The same way you did, same way, I need you to be ready. God is preparing you for something. I don't know what it is. That's you. That's your walk. But he's preparing you for something. He's preparing you for something that's going to have a larger impact. But it could all die if you quit right now. It could all. And sure enough, it ain't but a couple of chapters left. I charge you in your relaxation to watch who God uses to get him out of Jerusalem. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 So he does. He turns. All right. So man, we feel it. We want to quit sometimes. And we done swallowed something that everything is about blessings. And it is. But it's what a blessing is. But has he ever showed up for you in the middle of the night? I ain't got no answer, Lord. I ain't got no answer. I ain't got no response to that. And he says, I do. Keep up your courage. I am your defender. I am your healer. I am your savior. If you had never been in a circumstance like that, you wouldn't need a savior. If you could do it, why would we need a savior? Why did he come? He came for circumstances that you can't do anything about. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's your salvation. Amen.